This is a show about a team that started to grow a community. Wiggler and Jazz, here till it ends. Meet up to Pastor Dale Greendale with all of our friends. The brightest timeline's here to shine away. Community building is here to stay.
Yeah, that's right, everybody. It's community building here on Post Show Recap Socket Season 1, Episode 24, English as a Second Language. I'm Josh Wiggler. I'm joined here by Jess Sterling. Jess, I cannot believe that you ratted out to the podcast powers that be that I'm not actually a licensed podcaster, and we now have to do the full season of Community all over again.
Spoiler alert. Oops. I mean, nerd alert.
I don't know why you did that, but I am a little bit frustrated, I have to admit. Not my favorite thing.
Yeah. I don't think I would. I'm not like nerdy enough to pull off what Annie did. Like, I certainly didn't like record all of my classes and annotate like the notes or anything, but I totally can understand what she's going through this episode.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll talk about that. We're going to talk about that with your friend and mine, making her community building debut, I believe, correct? Yes. The first time on community building, and somebody who knows community even less than I do, which is so exciting. Karen from Canada.
Hi, everyone.
How you doing, Karen?
Oh, I'm good. I'm great. I mean, I was looking forward to this. I felt like this would be more fun than the episode.
Yeah, probably true.
And because I get to talk to you both. And this is great. Jess actually asked me to join, come on here with both of you earlier. And I was like, eh. And then
what was like, the F for? We can't don't just like you can't say that and then just move on with your life as if that's not an important thing.
The thing was that I didn't know anything about community, right? I was actually kind of like you, Josh, in the beginning. I was like, sure, right? But then, you know, I got another opportunity, just so great, good friend, and I was like, you know what? It would just be fun to just watch a random episode and maybe just deliver a bit of a different perspective. And so
this is interesting. So this is the only episode of Community that you had watched when you watched it. I know that you've like after this.
She had watched a few episodes because when I originally asked her, I think I was like, check it out, see what you think, and maybe you can come on. And so she watched a few episodes and was like, I'm not feeling it.
I was not. But I was also kind of tired at the time, and I kind of dozed in and out of like, on and off during the viewing. But then I went back since then. I went back and I watched, I got past episode 4 and 5, which Jess said were better, which they were. Mm-hmm. So I am willing to give it another shot now that I've kind of gotten more into it. And especially since I got, I'm getting to talk with you both today. So I think that'll motivate me a little bit more to get into it.
Okay, so I just want to get all of this straight. So Karen is on the podcast. Your friend and mine, Karen, yes. Jess. Karen is here. Karen has only watched like a small amount of Community.
Right.
This ultimately then was like kind of like by design. It's like, okay, so just like watch the amount of Community you've watched and then watch this one that we're going to talk about and then come onto the podcast, right? I'm getting it so far, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and then Jess, so you were like, all right, so I'm going to convince my friend to come onto the podcast to talk about Community with just like a minimal amount of Community know-how and appreciation at this point, and I'm going to choose this episode.
Here's the thing. Here, in my defense.
So that Karen will then like come onto the podcast, be like invested now and hooked into Community, and like that's going to work out great with this one.
Not necessarily.
I just want to make sure that I'm like tracking it correctly.
That last sentence is not exactly accurate.
Okay, got it.
Because what had happened was when I originally invited her, it was very early on in our season one, like start, right? Mm-hmm. Like plenty of episodes to choose from. I could have given her one where I was like, this will hook you, right? By the time she's actually coming on the podcast, it was like very late in the season. I had maybe 2-3 open spots in the schedule. So I didn't have like Modern Warfare or, you know what I mean? I didn't have that level of an episode to provide Karen to come on for. Obviously, this one was late to be scheduled for the reason that it was late to be scheduled. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not my favorite episode of Community.
Okay, so I'm raising my hand.
Karen's raising her hand. Yes, Karen.
Okay. Okay, but you know what the funny thing is? As crappy as this episode was, I think it actually worked. Because I was like, well, this can't be it. Like, people love this show for a reason. I talked to my friends. They said, actually, I think you would actually really love it. And because it's heartfelt, it's funny, it's smart. And so I was like, okay. And I asked for recommendations for episodes. And they're like, well, it's not one that you just have to watch it from the beginning, because there's certain jokes that pay off like way later.
Right.
But they're like, okay, watch Modern Warfare. So I watched that show. I was like, you know what? I'll go back and watch episode 4 and 5. So I think actually this, it kind of reverse psychology'd me into wondering why it was so good, because I just watched such a not great episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think it did. I think.
See, this is what I plan all
for
along.
For me. Yeah, for me, it wasn't, Karen, this is such a great show. Watch from the beginning. You're going to love it. It's, I think the approach with me, if you want me to watch a show next time, just pick the worst possible episode of a beloved show. And in spite of that, and figure out a reason to love it. Because I hate it so much. Yeah.
Karen, have you watched Lost yet?
No.
Watch the one where they tell you about Jack's tattoos, or the one where Charlie and his band are dancing around in diapers.
Yeah.
Okay. Send me the episode number.
Yeah, I'll send you those two. I'll send you those two, and then you'll be like, oh man, this show sucks. Like, how could it be like so celebrated? I guess I have to watch the whole thing.
Yeah. I listened to your pod about it for a couple times. I was like, you know what? This show's too good for me to get into. Like, I think that's what we need to do.
You got
to
watch something a little trashier first, then you're like, oh, but there's got to be something here. Let me start over. That's interesting.
Yeah. It's like starting off with like McDonald's, and then like, you know.
No, don't disrespect McDonald's like that. Yeah. That's really unfair. That's pretty harsh towards McDonald's. Oh my God. You think that the Jack's Tattoos episodes of Lost is McDonald's? McDonald's is so much tastier than and I defend the Jack's Tattoos episode. Okay,
how about this? Like, stale McDonald's, like the fries that are cold that have been sitting there like all day.
They're still going to be better than Burger King fries, and still going to be better than like a bunch of other fries.
Okay,
like,
true. If I'm picking a fry example.
Let's not bring McDonald's into this. I don't feel comfortable.
This is turning into a Wombat Water episode.
I don't feel comfortable. But of course, yes, good plug, Wombat Water, another podcast. Jess, you are involved in. Karen, can you guys tell us what Wombat Water is? It's been a minute since we've talked about Wombat Water on this podcast.
Oh, yeah. So obviously I've been invited for because I'm part of this podcast and it's so famous. That's why you wanted me on here, right? So Jess and I are involved in a podcast called Wombat Water. We play games to find out which thing is the best thing. And we just recently did a instant noodle podcast where I did a parody of BTS's Dynamite. And I think you should all go listen to it. So that's it.
Where do people find Wombat Water?
Go to wombatwater.com.
That's very easy.
There you
go. Go to wombatwater.com. wombatwater.com is better than this episode of Community, which is totally fine, ultimately.
That's the thing.
It's totally fine with things that are like that are somewhat funny and then things that are not that funny. I feel a little whiplashy, Jess, because I feel like it's been highs and lows. We had like the high of contemporary American poultry and then the low of Schmitty. And then we had the high of Modern Warfare. And now we're like, okay, we're going through this one. Everyone, let's, I guess it's like sort of climactic, right? Like, is this sort of like the end of the Spanish class storyline?
Right. And that's the thing I guess we will eventually get into is like, it feels like almost they didn't really know what they were doing and how to end the season, in my opinion, because Modern Warfare is kind of like a really great way to button up the season if you don't have that many episodes. This also feels like somewhat of a finale, but the finale is next week. We haven't covered the finale yet, which is, so it just feels like there's like three finales almost. And
this felt like the final episode of the season, which was interesting to me because, Karen, did you watch the first episode of Community?
I did.
Yeah. This felt like an answer to the pilot. Like this felt like closing the loop on there's like a world in which this is the last episode of Community ever. And you never have to watch Community again. And like you kind of got all of Community, I feel like. It's obviously like not the preferred world, I would imagine, because most of the best of Community is still ahead, I am to understand, and from what I have seen of 2 and 3. but like the episode is like structured almost like it's the finale. And because of that, like it's very like kind of like close in like structure and content, I feel like, to the first episode, which is one of the weaker episodes so far, which is often what happens with a pilot. But like, I don't know. Don't expect me to come on here and be jazzed about it.
Okay, I was shocked, though, because playing off your point, the whole thing about Singer Chang not being a real professor, I was like, I can't believe it took them this long to get into it. Like, this feels like something you learn on earlier. Cause
like, episode three, yeah.
Yeah, he's obviously incompetent, right? Like, that's just based on, like, I had not seen many episodes. This is the character they showed me, but I was like, obviously he's not a real professor. Like, why are they doing this now?
I feel like they didn't know that this was going to be like a storyline up until like three quarters of the way through the season. Like, it's not like they had planned to have this as a storyline. I think it was a way for them to get Chang like out of the classroom and involved in the study group more. Like that was their thought process, to like, well, if we only have him as a professor, like he's really going to be stuck in this classroom. So this is a way. And obviously he's so incompetent that like, it's not, I mean, it's Greendale and it's, you know, silly, but for him to be an actual professor is a bit far fetched. I don't know. This is, again, like, to me, this episode doesn't really rank high for me because it sets up a lot of things that I really don't like that happen in the future of Community.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. Let's talk about the episode, Jess. Why don't you lead us through it beat by beat? We begin in the study room.
Yes. So the dean is making an announcement. It's finals week, and he's trying to soothe people with the sounds of nature. First is a babbling brook.
Oh, so I see that the dean has access to the Calm app. And is trying to put everybody to sleep.
Yes. but Britta thinks this is ridiculous.
I love a babbling brook sound to go to bed with.
Do you? You listen to, like, Sleep With Me, right?
The podcast. I love Sleep With Me, the podcast, but my wife doesn't so much, so don't I try not to listen to it too often.
The things? Don't you use, like,
I haven't in a minute. I like to oscillate between Sleep With Me, the podcast, and the podcast that puts you to sleep, is what Dear Scoot says. Go check that out if you haven't. It'll definitely put you to sleep if you're struggling with sleep. Sleep With Me, the podcast. It is a very, very important thing to have in your life. So there's that. But I also love the Calm app because it's got all these sounds of nature and like little campfires and little babbling brooks. I love it. And that was kind of what I was reminded of with all the nature sounds that the dean is putting through in this episode.
Yeah, I like the idea in theory. In execution, maybe not so much, to have it like playing over a PA system. But Britta says it's ridiculous, and she's like, is this going to be like the Avatar situation again? And apparently everyone loves Avatar, and this is not the famous Avatar the Last Airbender plug for Aang in There.
Now it is a plug to go listen to Aang in There, the Avatar the Last Airbender podcast on post show recaps.
Yes, but this is the blue people Avatar.
This is the other mega popular Avatar, because this was and maybe even now is again the highest grossing movie of all time.
Didn't something beat it?
Yes, multiple things did. But then I think that there was a re-release relatively recently and it may have reclaimed the title. At least in top three baby. Karen, are you a fan of the Avatar movie? Did you watch the James Cameron's Avatar?
I did not, but I rode the ride in Disney's Orlando's.
How was that? World. Did you enjoy that? Did you going to Pandora?
Yeah, I loved it. That was really fun. It made me want to watch the movie.
Yeah, and you still haven't done it, though. And like, we had nothing but time, folks. So, I mean, from the time that you went to go on one of those rides between now, I have to imagine, was at least a year and a half.
Just ask me what I have seen. Okay.
Okay.
That's fair. Karen hasn't seen a lot of things. Like, okay, there's a lot of things missing, like my resume of movie watching.
Oh, man. Do you like Avatar, Jess?
I thought it was fine when I watched it. I didn't like lose my mind over it. I think Avatar the Last Airbender is better.
This is 2010, so this is just a few months after Avatar. Right. So the reference is on point at this point.
Yes. Yeah.
We're still waiting for those sequels. There's they have four sequels coming. Just you wait. They're coming. Yeah. Four. They've got four sequels coming.
That's a lot.
On the way. Yeah. I see you, sequels.
So Annie says they won't have any trouble passing Spanish because she's been transcribing the semester's notes with her digital recorder. Pierce says, spoiler alert, and Troy corrects him to nerd alert.
Nerd alert. Oh, because he thought that was what he meant to say instead of spoiler alert.
Right. Because spoiler alert doesn't really make any sense because it's Pierce, but, you know.
Not really. Yeah.
Annie says that they're going to study, pass the test, and then take Spanish 103. And Jeff says he's not taking Spanish 103 because Spanish 102 fulfills his language requirement. Everyone else seems content to take Spanish 103, but Jeff says he's on a tight timeline and he doesn't want to take an extra class because he wants to graduate on a, in a specific amount of time. And Annie's most concerned about the group staying together. Everyone agrees with her until she says that it's Monday through Friday at 6 a.m.
There aren't, Karen, are there classes anywhere that are at 6 a.m.?
No.
This is a fiction.
Yes.
Yes.
Again,
that doesn't exist.
It's also implausible that a class would be Monday through Friday. Because I feel like most college courses are either Tuesday, Thursdays, or Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. is not a thing. It's just not. That's not a real thing.
No. This is just an ask of the writers to ask us to just believe it. Just believe it. Just go with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the dean plays cricket noises. And now we get into the theme song. We're back in Spanish class and Annie is pitching anthropology as their next class instead. Shirley says she's still trying to forget what she learned about that subject. And then she go-girls herself. You go-girl!
Because it's the study of man.
Yeah, and you're not supposed to go-girl yourself?
I think you're supposed to let somebody else go-girl you. I don't think you're... It's like, you can't, like... I guess you can pat yourself on the back. It's like you high-fiving yourself.
Just did. What's the big deal? Is there a problem?
I mean, it's just a little silly.
Just did it again. Is there an issue?
You just look like... I think you need to have one hand, like, not moving. Because What's you up, look myself? Like you're clapping.
Yeah, no, I'm just doing it. Is there a problem? I don't think so. I think that's just showing yourself some appreciation. Someone's got to appreciate you. Why not you?
Yeah, I think it's fine.
You think it's fine to go girl yourself? Okay.
Yeah, well, I think so.
There you go.
I think so.
Annie says the class is at noon. And then this is going to be, you'll see, Josh, this is like a running thing that they do on the show where they say the same word a bunch of times. So they're like, anthropology, anthropology, anthropology. Like, that's a thing that happens a lot on the show.
Why?
I don't know. It's just a thing. I just felt like pointing it out.
Okay, cool.
Jeff says he has to take a full load of classes every year, but he's not building his schedule around BFFs.
Yes.
And Annie offers to build their schedule around his, but Britta says they can be friends without taking a class together. Annie tells Britta that it's obvious from her name that her parents smoked pot.
Have I seen this line before? Is this circulated often? I feel like I had like a huge deja vu moment when Annie said to Britta that it's obvious from your name that your parents smoked pot. Like, this didn't happen earlier in the show.
Okay, so as a new watcher, I would say I was, again, surprised that this, like, would this sound like a first episode joke?
Yeah.
I felt Pierce, I think Pierce calls Britta Brittles at one point. But I don't know. I mean, it's probable that something has come up from before now about Britta's parents and their drug using tendencies.
I haven't seen this episode, but I swear I've seen that joke. Like, I feel like... I feel like I've seen Annie say that to Britta. Maybe like someone tweeted it or something.
I'm just
going
to have to go through all of my transcriptions of the episodes and just do like control F for like pot or weed or.
Oh, I thought that you were going to first have to go through your digital recorder and then.
Yeah. This is like a Evian, like your parents named you after bottled water kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Same kind of thing.
Yeah.
And Pierce is upset he hasn't spoken a single word yet, and that's when Chang enters.
Yes.
Chang asks to see Jeff in private, and he makes everybody leave the classroom. Pierce attempts to stay with them, but Chang makes him leave as well. Mm-hmm. And Chang asks where Jeff got his fake law degree, and could he have prevented getting caught?
Yeah.
So we go through this long story. Chang says that in high school he was in a band, but the world wasn't ready for an Asian man on keytar.
Yeah. Jeff says, did you say guitar or keytar, as if he's never heard of a keytar before? And I'm sorry, Jeff, but you're old. You know what a keytar is. You've encountered that before.
Yeah, even I know what a keytar is. Like, come on.
Karen, like, you know what a keytar is?
Yeah, I mean, I figured it out.
Figured it out, guys. And come on.
Yeah.
I'd like to rock a keytar. I'd always thought that was a cool instrument.
I mean, Jeff is just being a jerk. Okay, like, yeah. You know.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, he knows for sure.
What's the cooler look? Is it the, like, Paul, what is his name? Paul Rudd in, Mike.
Paul Blart.
Mike. So, no. Paul Rudd in Friends, when he plays Mike, Phoebe's husband, and he, like, pretends to be standing up, like, playing keyboard. Like, is that a cooler look? Or is it cooler if you're playing the keyboard like a guitar, like, sideways, you know? Like, what's the better, cooler look if you're in a band?
Man, I don't know. I think it really depends on the band. I think, like, I would be, like, really, I would stand up and take notice if someone in a band had a keytar. I'd be like, oh, you don't see that every day.
You have more range of movement.
Yeah.
On a keytar.
Karen, what do you think? Do you think upright keyboard versus, it's not an upright keyboard. I guess it would be a horizontal keyboard. It's a flat keyboard.
I think it's better for performance, like, versus having a synthesizer, because you, like, with a keyboard, there's something kind of, like, energy blocking you, and this allows, like, guitar players to look still really cool, like they have a guitar.
And you can, like, do the thing where you flip it around your body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hard to do that with a keyboard, you know, unless you have, like, a strap.
You could take the keyboard and do one of those things, like those people they hire to, like, stand outside stores where they do the waving thing with the cardboard and they flip it and all of that nonsense. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I mean, or you could just use it to smash cards.
Josh knows what I'm talking about. He doesn't want to laugh at it.
I'm just gonna leave you alone out there on that one.
Anyway,
yeah.
Chang admits to faking his way into his job as a Spanish teacher by relying on phrases from Sesame Street.
Yeah,
and he warns Jeff that if the dean finds out, their grades would be invalid, and they'd all have to repeat the class.
This feels like a series finale. This feels like a plot line from a series finale. This doesn't feel like I don't know. And so I guess, like, I understand that from this moment forward, like, this is obviously going to change Chang's trajectory on the show forever, right? Like, because he can't be employed by Greendale anymore. So, you know, this is obviously, like, the entire dynamic of Community is going to have to change as a result of unless they just, like, pretend like it's some sort of big mix up in the next episode. But I guess they're not going to do that.
I mean, they kind of set it up in the previous episode, right? That I watched.
Oh, okay. True. Yeah, good point.
Because they register
a salient point, right, Karen.
They enroll him as a student so he can take down the others.
Right.
So it's the time to get the loose ends, I think.
Yeah, it's a way to keep him on the show without them having to necessarily take Spanish 103 as well.
Yeah.
So Chang leans back in a chair. The chair makes the noise. He insists it's the chair. We see Annie's recorder has been recording all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yes. So she's got the receipts.
Yes. We're in the hallway. We see a blackboard with a complicated, like, chemistry something or other equation on it.
People are, like, trying to figure it out. So this is the beginning of the Good Will Hunting homage.
Which I have seen.
This is the B story of the episode, is that, like, they're doing the reverse Good Will Hunting, where Will Hunting, a.k.a. Matt Damon, is going around Harvard fixing stuff, and then he's solving problems by night. He's like Math Batman. And
a much less cool version of Batman.
Yeah. Math Batman could be kind of cool. No?
I just picture, like, his belt buckle to be, like, math, like a plus sign, a minus sign, a division sign, you know?
Yeah. I can do long division without a calculator. You know, like, that's not bad. That's pretty cool.
I don't sleep. You sleep. I have to do math.
I have to do math. So he's, like, going around doing complicated math problems now in Good Will Hunting. So in this, they're doing it that Troy can't do complicate, but he's, like, a genius with pipes and plumbing and stuff.
Yep.
Like, I guess, but like, Good Will Hunting was so long ago, even by this moment in time standards. Why are they doing this?
Because Dan Harmon doesn't like Good Will Hunting and wants to poke fun at it, I guess.
What did Good Will Hunting ever do to Dan Harmon?
He said in the commentary that I guess he was like a young writer when it got nominated for an award or something, and he was just like, it's a bad story. Like, why did it get nominated?
Yeah, so why are you putting a bad story into this show?
Yeah, to make fun of it.
To make fun of it, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, if you see Troy, instead of like solving the equation, he just takes the piece of chalk and he goes to drink out of a water fountain, but it's not working. So he picks up a wrench to fix it, gets caught by the plumbers, and he runs away. And it turns out he fixed the water fountain.
Yeah. He's very good at it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Cool.
I wish that things were that easy to fix in my house. Like literally just a wrench and you just go just a little bit and everything's fixed. No issues.
Yeah, a magic wrench is what you're describing, I think.
I think I need to get myself one of those.
Yeah. I'm not particularly handy myself, so this would be helpful in my life, too.
Yeah.
A magic wrench. There's a lot of things I would fix with a magic wrench.
I mean...
like, what? I don't know. Like, I feel like there's a lot of just, like, stuff that's broken that needs to be repaired.
But am I out of base here?
Am I off base, Karen? You wouldn't like just like fix a bunch of stuff if you had a magic wrench?
Yeah. You can, you know, fix a lot of serious stuff, little stuff.
Yeah. It's like, oh man, my haircut was not what I wanted it to be. Let me just magic wrench that real quick. Oh, man, looking fly, looking fresh. I'd fix that.
I just picture you walking around with like a tool belt with just a wrench all the time.
No, that would be silly. I would have to put other things in the tool belt just to, you know, balance it out.
I think the problem is that you'd look like a Mr. Fix-It then and people would ask you to fix things.
Great. Then I will fix things with my magic wrench. Jess, what's the problem? This is what I have the magic wrench for.
Yeah. Is that how it goes? Like you make a good joke and then Jess just like...
yeah, typically.
Okay. You should have been here the time I had to say semen about 50 times.
Oh, that did happen. That did happen. Some weeks ago.
I've been fighting the joke of Troy laying the pipe for like 15 minutes now.
Okay. All right. Okay.
That was one of those ones where it's like, should I say it? And then I didn't say it and the time has passed, but I just said it.
You just did. It just happened now. Yeah.
We're in the library. Annie is transcribing her notes, and she hears Chang admitting that he isn't a real teacher. Mm. And the facial expressions Allison Brie makes is fantastic.
She's going to tell.
Yes.
She's going to tell.
Yes. So Spanish class. It's
Karen's shaking
hours.
Her head. Karen, you're out on this. You don't think she should have told?
She sucks. Oh my God.
No.
Violence. Hold on. Let me take my magic wrench. I'll try and fix this. Oh, God. This friendship is broken.
Turn back time, Josh.
Wow.
See if your magic wrench can do that.
Karen, you're out on Annie.
What a snitch.
Annie is fantastic.
Listen, she's snitching.
She had good reason.
No,
we jumped a little, but
the finals in like 40 hours.
Yeah, it is not a nice thing to do what she does. But I love her.
We're not there in the story yet, but just
okay.
almost there.
First out of me.
we're just putting it out there.
So 24 hours before the final, the dean enters Spanish class and he says that Senior Chang is no longer with us. Shirley asks if he's dead, but Josh, we know he can't be killed.
He can't be killed. This is a warning. He can't be killed. So it's not about that, but no, he's been fired.
He has been
removed from the faculty.
Yes.
And not the movie, The Faculty.
The dean received an anonymous tip that Chang had misrepresented his qualifications.
Yes. Yes.
If an Asian man says he's a Spanish teacher, it's not racist to ask for proof, okay? You ignore your mother's voice and get right into that horse's mouth, is what Dean says.
Yeah.
Annie asks if their grades are invalid. You can like obviously tell that she snitched on them because she sounds very hopeful that their grades were being
also
invalid.
They just showed the scene of her listening to the recorder.
If that wasn't enough though, this is just even further suspicion that it was her. And the dean says no, it wouldn't be fair to the students, so they have to take their final with Chang's replacement, Dr. Escudera. She immediately starts speaking in Spanish to the class, and all they can say is "see" because they have no idea what she's saying. Yeah.
So they don't, they haven't learned. I want to know what their tests looked like to get to like Spanish 102 that none of them can, they can't say anything. They have no idea what's going on.
The Sesame Street phrases, obviously.
That's it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe they can count because of the count.
Right. So, I mean, like, this scene definitely reminded me of all my second language or other language anxiety. So whenever like a fluent speaker would talk to me in that language, I just get like all antsy and like, I don't know. And then just give the shortest answer possible or response.
Buenos dias.
I'm useless if I'm traveling and I don't speak the language, which is everywhere that doesn't speak English as the first language. I'm because I do know some words, and like I just get I get so nervous that I'm going to say things wrong, and so like I get really shy. And I'm like,
so isn't Singer Chang a good teacher?
Think so. It seems like it.
Come on.
To some degree, at least. They were all, like, doing fine. They made it this far. They made it to Spanish 102.
To some degree with no degree.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah, they obviously know nothing. Pierce asks what's on the final, and the teacher says, "En español, por favor." I know it's in Spanish, dummy.
That's a pretty good line, actually. That's pretty good.
Dr. Escudera says, "Bente," which Britta thinks means a large coffee, obviously a Starbucks joke.
I think, Karen, to your point, that feels like a first three episodes joke.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like we've heard this.
It's like an easy joke.
A lot of times. Yeah.
Dr. Escudera says the final will be cover the entire textbook, which everybody freaks out. I think that Josh, I think Jeff says El Crapo.
El Crapo. Now I've also said El Crapo, so it's accurate that Josh said it too.
So we now have 20. I love the continual countdown this episode, 20 hours until the final. Trey says he didn't understand a word their new professor was saying. Why is she teaching Spanish if she's a doctor? Go cure something. Jeff's worried his 4-year plan will be thrown off. And this is when they hear a car alarm. This is one of the worst jokes in this episode, in my opinion, because it takes like 3 minutes to get there. Like, it's this whole story about how Abed heard this car alarm and he knows that it has to be Jeff's car because he heard the alarm in 2002 or whatever, which is the year of Jeff's car, I guess. But that took like a minute and a half to get to that joke, to find out that Chang is smashing up Jeff's car.
With the keytar. So, such disrespect to the keytar.
The keytar looks like in like mint condition, which is pretty astonishing considering he's whacking a car with it.
Karen, is this another reason to choose the keytar? Because of its durability.
I mean, yeah, sure, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I liked the joke. I liked the
joke. I did too, actually.
I like the, you know, that's the year I heard it. Like, that's, I like that joke.
I just felt like it took such a long time to get to the punchline that I was like, all right, like, let's, come on.
I mean, it was more of the joke. I don't think the joke is that he's smashing a car, like, that's not the payoff.
Oh no, the payoff is what year he heard.
Yeah. I like that joke. That was fine.
Yeah,
that was probably one of my favorite jokes. So.
Karen and Jess, you could not be more opposite as community fans.
Yeah,
this is great. It's great. I love it.
So Chang is also wearing safety goggles. You know, safety first.
That's impressive. The forethought to put the safety goggles on if you're going to smash a car. That should be happening more often when we're smashing cars as a society.
I think we shouldn't smash cars as a society.
Yeah.
Chang thinks Jeff is the one who turned him in. Jeff tries to pull the keytar out of Chang's hands when two security guards come up with tasers.
They get tased.
Yes.
And Jeff says, I'm peeing my pants.
Yep.
As he's getting tased.
Yep.
So that has happened to him. And that's not even the bathroom scene, which happens next.
Yes. Now we're in the bathroom. Troy enters the bathroom and he's licking something off of his fingers. He goes to wash his hands and he sees the sink is out of order. So he takes the magical wrench and he fixes the sink. Jerry slow claps behind him. Apparently, he's the one who put out free cake and dismantled the valve to see what he would do.
I do want to so he put out a free cake, feeling like Troy would probably take the cake and then need to go and wash his hands and therefore come into the bathroom. Like, that's the trap.
Right.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, it's a pretty funny joke.
I think that's pretty good. It's like, I knew you would take the cake. I knew you would take it with your bare hand. I knew you would come to the bathroom to wash off the frosting. And I knew you would see the thing. Like, I think that's kind of funny.
Yeah.
I kind of like that.
And this is just the beginning of this storyline where Jerry is trying to get Troy to be a plumber. He's like, you know, it's okay. Everybody needs a plumber. You know, people will always use them and they'll always need to be fixed. It makes sense. But Troy disagrees, and this is like the whole Goodwill Hunting of it all. This is the only thing that makes sense is this learning thoughts so I can get a student loan and grind my own coffee and understand HBO.
Understand HBO. That's funny. He doesn't want to do this. This is the Goodwill Hunting story in a nutshell. Will didn't want to be a mathematician. He just wanted to keep living his life. And Stellan Skarsgård was like, no, man, you can't do that. Too special for that. And then Robin Williams says, it's not your fault.
Oh, I love Robin Williams in the movie. He's so good.
Yeah, he says that a few times, in fact.
Yes.
He says it enough that Will says, stop saying that. I think it's the line. He goes, don't say that to me anymore. But keep saying it.
And this is when Jerry gives Troy a card and he's like, you know, if you want to be a plumber, let me know. And then Abed exits, like washes his hands. He's like overheard this entire conversation. The scene is fine. I mean, I get the whole Goodwill Hunting parody aspect of it. I know some people really like the Troy ? Plumber situation that this is a preview of things to come in another season. I never really enjoyed that.
Troy as a plumber is like a thing. This is like a recurring through line.
Sort of. It's more of like, should Troy be in a trade school is like a thing. I don't know. Okay. I mean, I understand he has a gift, but it's fine.
Interesting. I didn't realize this was like the start of a storyline.
Yeah, you'll see. Like, it's more of a like, will he, won't he?
It's a will he won't he with becoming a plumber is the will he won't he.
It sounds strange because it is
so odd. Okay, that's so strange to me.
Karen, does any of this track with you?
Like what is that?
I don't know. I have mixed feelings about it. Just because it is weird, especially since he says this is what he wants. Like at the moment, like this is what I want. I want to be able to understand HBO and have a job or whatever. They had to, and apparently the custodian who talks to him, is he a recurring character?
He comes back.
I understand.
Okay.
Is this his first appearance?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. I mean, they had to make him a black person. It doesn't look good if a white person tells him, like, you could be a plumber. This happened to my husband, who is black.
Oh, wow.
Who was told, like, you... In the wording, of course, they did it differently in Community. But, like, they told him, like, you're gonna be, like, all you're gonna lead up, like, be is a janitor. Which is nothing wrong with being a custodian, okay? But, like, this... Like, it just made me think of that. And I just thought, like, I don't know. Like, there's just certain things that they had to word. And, like, this episode is, like, just not great. Like, getting tased for no reason. Like, right. Not really doing it. Like, there's certain things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'll bring up white privilege later. But yeah. I'm just like, well, I don't get it. The plot line, it's fine. There's nothing wrong with becoming a tradesperson or anything. But if Troy's saying, like, this is what I want, and people are saying, like, no, like, you could be this, like, and we're pushing you to be a tradesperson, like, that doesn't sound great to me. But it's sort of, like, they did word it the way, like, where it's, like, I guess that's okay. not great, but I guess that's okay.
It's just kind of lazy, like the storytelling, I feel like.
Yeah, the storytelling is a little lazy too. Yeah. So I was just, it just made me think of it. And it's just like, I wonder how many people like related to this in like the not good way.
Yeah.
That's a good point. I didn't think of it in that way, but I also like, I don't really enjoy this storyline no matter what. Like, it just isn't something that I feel like is very fun. I think that like part of the joy of Troy is honestly like the Troy and Abed duo. And so to see them kind of like, not only like a little bit at odds in this episode, but just like not on the same page. They didn't have a ton of scenes together. I don't know. It just felt weird having Troy with this guy, Jerry, who this is the first time we're meeting him. And I mean, he's fine. Like, there's nothing wrong with Jerry. It's just kind of like, it just feels off for some reason. I don't know. I can't really explain it.
I wish they would have just shown Troy like enjoy it a little bit more. Like, ooh, like at home, maybe he like likes to fix stuff. Like,
right.
Like as a hobby. Like, and then like, okay, maybe there is a bit of a struggle of if he should do it or not. So I just wish there was just like, if you're going to tell it, like tell it with a little bit more background. I don't know. I just felt like it was weird.
I also think, I guess like it makes some sense to me now thinking about a little bit more that like they deal with it more in the future because like right now in the context of this episode, right? Like I feel like the story doesn't go anywhere, right? Like exactly. They kind of just drop it.
Yeah. And they said in the commentary, like that was on purpose. They meant to do that, but it just doesn't feel right. Like Karen was saying, they don't even have any episodes before this where like Troy is shown to have a knack for like fixing things or being particularly handy. Like it kind of just comes out of nowhere and then just leaves out of nowhere, if that makes sense. Like it doesn't really, it just kind of just feels like it's dropped in the episode almost for the sake of the Good Will Hunting joke, where I feel like it should be the reverse. Like you should have a character beat or a character moment that ties into like a parody. You know what I mean? Like don't fit the parody to the character. Like do it the other way around.
Yeah.
Especially if it's going to come up later.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah.
That's strange. Okay.
So we're in the study room.
Abed was there the whole time and he washes his hands.
So they've been studying. There's 14 hours left until the final. They now know three kinds of verbs and that took them 40 minutes. Britith says that if they don't eat or if they don't sleep or pee, they can cover 10% of the exam. Jeff is like very pessimistic about it all. He thinks they're going to have to retake Spanish in the fall. Everybody groans except for Annie.
She loves it. She's psyched. Spanish 103. Here we come. Yes. Or I guess Spanish 101. We just got to do it all over again.
Like, 102.
Exactly.
Yeah. And Jeff notices and calls Annie out for it. Annie quickly changes the subject to curling tongues. Until
everyone can do it. Everyone can do this.
Yeah.
Karen's doing it right now. Jess is doing it too. Can everybody do this?
Isn't that the dominant gene to be able to curl your tongue? Are you doing it? I think.
Yeah. Dead air right now as I'm trying.
It's like kind of, but like not 100%. It's like not very tubular. It's the best I can do.
Yeah. I'm definitely like, Jess, you're doing it. Karen is doing it effortlessly for both of them. I'm not able to do this.
So talented. I used to be able to touch my tongue to my nose. I don't think I can anymore.
Yeah.
I think I got too old for it.
I can't do that either. I can stick my tongue out and make it look like it's my top lip.
Ooh.
But that's it. That's all I can
juicy
do.
Juicy lips.
Yeah. That I can do. That I can do, but that's the only one. That's it. That's all I got.
Jeff shouts that Annie is the one who ratted out Chang. Annie denies it. Permission to treat the witness as hostile.
Yeah.
And Pierce allows it. He asks if Annie recorded the class yesterday. She says she doesn't think so, but Abed says that she said she records all her classes.
He remembers, yeah.
Yes. Jeff says that she did it to keep the group together because she's insecure and didn't get hot until after high school.
Oh, man. Troy says somebody turn her into a dude so I can punch her.
Yep.
This is line. Uh-huh.
Yep.
That was afterwards, right?
Yes, that was after.
Yeah.
I didn't love that line.
No, not great. Annie says that they were all going to drift apart and everyone else was too cool to do anything about it. Britta says they weren't psycho enough. And Jeff
standing
points out
like
that
a
Annie has
psycho.
Yeah, Annie has Disney face. Which I love. Her lip is gonna quiver and her eyes will flutter, but they won't ever actually close.
Alison Brie is very, very, very good at this. This scene, I think, is pretty funny. And just like the control that she has is like Joel McHale is just like narrating exactly what's going on is really fun. And like it's working on absolutely everybody.
Yeah. Even Abed. Yeah. Everybody has to look away.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do not feel sorry for her. She stole a year of our lives. Highly relatable. And we're right to be pissed. Yeah. This is when he tells everybody to look away. Abed thinks he can only connect with people through movies, but he's getting sucked into. Alison Brie's face is amazing. I love her Disney face. I love her Disney eyes. Like everything about this scene, I just like, not the scene, but like this just one particular moment. I love it. Like, I just love Alison Brie and like the way, I mean, she has like, what's the actress's name? Anne Hathaway. She has like Anne Hathaway face where it's like all her facial features are so huge that she just sucks you in.
Uh huh. And everyone's drawn in.
Yeah, they can't help
it. Not me.
Not Karen. Not Karen.
Her white privilege.
Yeah.
Holding everyone back.
Yeah.
The way Jeff lawyers her is just incredible.
I'd have been so mad. If I were in that room and then I found out that this had happened, I'd be like, how could you do this to us?
Yeah. No, it's really mean. What she does is really mean. I just love Annie, so I can't be too mad at her.
I mean, it's also like kind of it's a little bit of a catch 22. It's like, well, you know, like, what happens if they all fail the final, right? Is it at that point now she's got the evidence? She's like, you got to pass us, Senior Chang. You know, what do you do?
Yeah. I mean, like, it's certainly not her morality that led her to, you know, snitch on Chang. That had nothing to do with it.
Yeah. That's not part of the equation. It's literally, no. I just want us all to hang out together forever.
I think it's like,
I mean, she seems like a very, like very academically driven person. Is that what, like that's
100%.
That's like the only way, that's like the only way she knows how to keep people together. Like she has not figured out like, oh, we could just like, you know, Britta tells her like, we just hang out together. And that just does not register. Like, oh, your parents
are. I think it's like, it's that, and it's like she's so very young. This is like her first major friend group, and her other friend group that she did form, she says, like, as her rehab group, and like everybody drifted apart. So it's like, certainly she feels like that's what's going to happen again. And so in order to prevent that, she will do it at all costs, including having to retake a class to keep her friend group together. So
disrespectful of everybody else's time, though.
And money.
Oh, I'm not
and
like
resources.
What she does is terrible. Absolutely, it's awful. But yeah, it sucks that she does it. Annie leaves. She's upset. She throws down a bottle cap necklace that some guy from her rehab group made her. Jeff says no one should follow her. She's trying to distract them from studying. He tries.
Does
to
anyone
study.
Know how to study?
Annie's the only one.
That was pretty funny.
So 40 minutes until the final, the dean's announcement continues to have stress reducing nature sounds. That's cut 5 from Sounds of the Serengeti. Here's a B-side from that album, Antelope Slaughter.
I didn't do too. Yeah. And then it's just like a terrifying cacophony of death, which I listen to this one on the Calm app as well. Sometimes when it's like I need to make sure that I like wake up early enough for a thing, you know, let's not rest too easily.
Yeah. So they all wake up and they only have 40 minutes left. Troy realizes Pierce isn't waking up. So Jeff shouts discrimination lawsuit and Pierce wakes up.
This also feels like very early Community. Like this just like feels like a very early joke.
Yep. Shirley asks if they should call Annie, but Jeff says no. Abed tells Troy he was in the bathroom and knows he could be a plumber, but Troy doesn't want to be a plumber. He wants to be sophisticated and have no job or a job that looks like he does nothing. Abed says the best part of his day is when he looks over in Spanish class because he thinks maybe I'll look over and he won't be there. And Troy is obviously confused.
This is the Ben Affleck telling Matt Damon in Good Will Hunting, like, get out of here, you crazy kid. You know, it's basically like, go on. Like every day I hope I come to the door and you're not there. And I think like that's like what Dan Harmon is saying, is like the sort of like one of like the big like emotional buildups of the movie of Good Will Hunting is actually like kind of like a mean thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it's like you, yeah, you're my best friend. I never want to see you again. But this is me being supportive and nice. It's like kind of like the like, you know, reductive point of boiling down Good Will Hunting for this scene. But it's like, okay. But that movie came out a decade ago. Like, what, you know, at this point, like, what are we doing? Why are we fighting? Why
on his shoulder.
What are we doing? Like, punching up at, like, Ben Affleck and Matt Damon right now. What did they do in this moment? I guess I'm trying to, like, locate myself in 2010. Like, no, did they do something wrong?
No, you're right. Like, it's...
Like, what happened?
It's a combination of, like, the jokes feeling like early season one Community, but, like, the context needing to be there for you to understand why Annie does what she does and why Jeff feels the way he should. You know what I mean? Like, it's almost like they're doing both things at once, which is why I feel like the episode doesn't necessarily work for me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So we're in Spanish class. Britt is talking to Shirley. She says they just might pass, but they're 12-hour study session. Shirley says her horse... her horoscope predicted suffering, which is good.
That's
because
good.
Horoscopes are the devil trying to trick us.
I think for Shirley that was funny. I laughed that at that good. A lot. That took me off. Ovid looks, Troy's not sitting where he's supposed to be, so you do get that more. Troy's across the room being like, that makes you happy, me not being there. Yeah, he switched spots because Ovid's a bad friend. The best part of his day is when he thinks I'm not there. I laughed at that. I did think it was funny just because Donald Glover is really funny in that moment. I thought he was good. Yeah. I was like, it's from a movie.
Yeah, the line, yeah, that make you happy, killed me. So Shirley texted Annie, but she's never responded. Shirley gets a response that says Annie's sorry and that it isn't a ploy for attention. She does need to grow up and start by making things right with Chang. Jeff is very scared. He thinks Chang's going to kill Annie, which, I mean, not super far-fetched considering he just took his keytar and smashed up Jeff's car. So, you know, great to be worried, I think.
Yeah.
So Jeff gets up and the teacher tells him to sit. They have an entire exchange in Spanish with everyone. Everyone gets up to leave, and Jeff says, who cares about an exam? They're a study group. I do love the Pierce line of, Tierra del Fuego. He just
leaves. This is, and then Starburns leads the revolution for Hannah. It's like, yeah, Hannah's all of our friend. We gotta go, Hannah! Yeah.
Yeah, Starburns is really funny in this episode. If Dean wasn't so amazing, I feel like there's a chance he could get a Dean
Smith point. I was thinking of giving it to Starburns, actually. This part's pretty funny, where, like, he leads everybody up in resistance for Hannah. I was also thinking about giving a Deansel's point to Hannah. I have to assume there's a Hannah somewhere at Greendale.
Somewhere.
I am going to give it to Starburns, ultimately.
Karen, how did this scene play for you? What do you think of Starburns having never... I'm assuming you haven't encountered him in other episodes, but I'm not sure.
I mean, I thought the scene was funny.
Yeah.
I loved how much Spanish everyone knew.
Yeah.
That was, like, the most delightfully surprising part of it.
Yeah.
And they're all telling off the teacher in Spanish. It's like, wow, good job. You did learn something in, you know, 48 hours.
Yes, they finally learned something. So they all can't do the test because they all have to go save Hannah. Let's see. So they hear the group hears Annie screaming no, in Chang's office. Jeff kicks down the door. Chang is playing keytar and he's using his synthesizer. And so it sounds like Annie's screaming.
For the next Wombat Water, Karen and Jess, can you make sure that there's a song parody that's just somebody's, like, terrified screaming but musicalized?
I mean, is that not the water break song with all the wombat sounds? It's like,
yeah, I guess that's pretty close. Yeah, that is pretty close.
So Chang says that Annie getting him fired was the best thing that ever happened to him. That Annie says they're going to get Ben a job so he can stay at Greendale as a student and work on his teaching degree. He wants to get the band back together. He's not good at playing guitar. He's actually pretty terrible.
So he needs to go take music lessons. Well, it's been a while, you know?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I think he said was it in high school that he was in a band? So it's definitely been a bit minute.
Yeah.
Annie and Jeff leave class after taking the test and they think it was super easy. Annie apologizes to Jeff. Jeff says he treated her like a child for having feelings, and maybe that's because he stopped having them. He tells her not to stop having feelings and that you don't have to be a kid to admit you like people. He also tells her she's dressing like a travel agent.
Why is she dressing like a travel agent?
Well, she says she was going for more of a professor thing, and we get this, like, really awkward exchange. They both look super uncomfortable. It's very obvious. So, Karen, you might not have this context.
Oh,
but... getting it?
okay. All right.
Jeff dated a professor, and she dressed very similarly to how Annie is dressing, in like a pencil skirt and like a blouse tucked in, basically, especially the color purple. I feel like Slater wore a lot. So that is the joke there.
Got it. Okay. So she's intentionally dressing in a way that is reminiscent of somebody that Jeff dated previously.
Yep.
Okay, got this. That's clocked it. I understand now.
Yes. Troy leaves.
She likes him.
That's the thing.
I mean, I got the professor fantasy. Like, I was like, oh, it's like a professor fantasy thing. Like, that's awkward. But that also makes sense. It works.
Can we take a moment to just stop down and say that Professor Fantasy is the greatest name of a superhero that doesn't exist? Why is there not a Professor Fantasy out there? All right, we got to end the stream right now. We do this live. I will edit this out of the podcast so that nobody can take Professor Fantasy from us.
There
because,
we go.
Jess and Karen, we got to lock in. Professor Fantasy. What does Professor Fantasy do? Just like takes you all these different lands? Professor Fantasy opens a textbook and you go to like Narnia.
Oh, is he like Miss Rizzo or Miss Frizzle? Miss Frizzle. Yeah. What did I say?
Yeah. Yeah.
Rizzo. That's from Greece.
Yeah. Miss Rizzo is a different person. Yeah.
Miss Frizzle. Get on the magic school bus.
Professor Fantasy and Math Man. Look at the cinematic universe we're building today.
I am Math Man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Long division without a calculator isn't a fantasy, Professor. I can do it.
Oh, that would be fun. Yeah. Professor Fantasy and Math Man.
Yeah. Is Professor Fantasy a villain? Your husband Will asks on the stream, Jess.
I feel like it could be one of those things where, like, Professor Fantasy starts out as a hero and turns into a villain.
Karen, do we trust Professor Fantasy?
I wouldn't.
Yeah.
I mean, think of all the things that, you know, can happen in a fantasy.
I think she wears purple.
Yeah.
I feel like she wears like a cool, like galaxy type of like pattern on her outfit.
Uh-huh. Like the stars.
Yeah.
Yeah. The universe. Yeah. Professor Fantasy.
And she has Disney
eyes. I would love the where she is not sure if she's a villain or a hero.
Oh, cool. Yeah. People are complicated.
Oh.
Yeah, Professor Fantasy, for whatever else Professor Fantasy is a person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Professor Fantasy is the devil trying to fool us.
Yeah, like a horoscope. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Professor Fantasy's alter ego could be Horace Cope. Could be the name.
Oh, there you go. Grace loves that.
Yeah.
That's a Grace leader.
Yeah, Horace Cope. Who's Horace Cope? Well, the answer is Professor Fantasy. Anyway. Interesting. Okay.
Love it. Yes. So Troy leaves. He says he thinks he got half of it, which got me through the other half that I didn't. And Ahmed says, like, the first season of The Wire.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Do you understand the first?
Yeah. But is the second half, like, super complicated? I feel like it's the opposite. I feel like, you know, you really got to pay attention in the first half. Otherwise, you're not going to get anything else.
Yeah, I like the first. I mean, I feel like the joke is better. Not that I'm trying to correct their jokes, but they should say like season one of The Wire got you through season two of The Wire.
Because
season two is not very good. No offense to The Wire.
It's a different conversation, but yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
And Troy can't stay mad at Abed. So they're
fine. They're good. They're back.
And
that's
the thing. Like, you can't have Troy and Abed fighting because it doesn't make for a great episode. You know, they have to be together.
But they're barely fighting. They fight for like a scene.
I know.
That's it.
Is it even worth it? No, not worth it.
It was strange.
Shirley and Britta think they both nailed it. They hug and jump. Pierce joins them. It's awkward. Jeff says that they need to plan for the worst case scenario where they pass and won't have class together next semester. Anthropology.
Why is Jeff so into anthropology?
Because he wants everybody to take anthropology.
But why is that the class? Yeah, that's my question.
Because that's the class that Annie wanted.
Oh.
Earlier in the episode.
But why did... Okay, anyway. Well, so they're not going to take that, though, are they?
More with that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the plan. They're going to take anthropology if they pass.
Or if they fail. If they... Oh, no, if they do pass.
If they pass, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the worst case scenario. That's the joke. Yeah.
But they do pass. Everyone passes.
Yes. Annie gets the highest grade with a 95. Troy right. gets the lowest with a 68.
Mm-hmm.
One away from that, 69.
And Pierce and Spanish Professor Fantasy have a secret history that is revealed in this final scene of the episode.
Yeah, they did it.
They did it. That was the secret history.
I said it. They did it.
It's not such a secret anymore.
He was gone before breakfast.
Yes. Gone mm-hmm. before breakfast.
Yeah.
So this is technically an end credit scene.
It
even
is.
Though it feels like it's just part of the episode.
Right.
And I feel like usually these end credit scenes are like, you know, like they got to be like kind of like true stingers, right? Like they've got to be like, you know, it feels like they should be separate from the thing. So I know, I believe it was Ryan who was asking in the patron Discord earlier, like, does this even count as a streets ahead, streets behind situation? I think technically it has to.
It does,
But because it's like not really a bit, it's actually just like the ending of the episode. I'm going behind.
I did as well. Karen, what about you? Streets ahead or streets behind?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Do you like it or don't you like it? It's pass fail, essentially.
I mean, I didn't realize this is how they did end credit scenes. Like, then when I went back, I was like, wow, okay, I didn't feel like there was that kind of ending in episode 24. So I was like, okay, it's fine. That's how they do it, then I wish that there was a different kind of ending scene.
Yeah, it's not great.
It felt inconsistent.
Most of the time, it's Troy and Abed, and it's like funnier. This time, it was like,
yeah, it wasn't that funny.
Yeah. I'll put you as a fail then. So streets behind.
Okay.
That's
the
first time we've had all three people say something is streets behind.
Yeah.
So send records here.
All right. Let's do some feedback. Some F community. This is from the Plumber's Crack Bandit who writes in and says, this episode just missed me on so many levels. Some jokes like Chang's fart chair falls flat. Abed feels like a parody of himself, literally saying things like, I only connect with people through movies. It's a bit on the nose. Jeff is borderline cruel to Annie. Everybody is just a little bit off. Is this the most season 4 episode of season 1? Jess, only you can weigh in on such a thing.
Yeah, I think that it's a combination for me. Like, I feel like it's not necessarily season 4-esque. Josh, I feel like you said it best when you said it feels like some of the jokes are season 1, like they haven't really found their footing yet.
Like, Karen, that was your call, and like that woke something up for me where I was like,
episode 1.
Yeah, this feels like
episode 1 joke.
But it just feels like, it also feels like a finale.
Yeah. Yes.
So it's really inconsistent in that way. And I feel like it's way, and we'll get to this in Riley's feedback, but I feel like he's correct in that it's very plot heavy instead of character heavy. Like, I just feel like for someone like Karen coming in and only really watching this episode, obviously you went back and you watched a little bit more, but like, I feel like it expects that you know things about the characters without really saying much about the characters at the same time. Doesn't really move them forward at all, even though it's supposed to, it feels like a finale, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't love it.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta tell you, I didn't love it.
Why does this person think Jeff was too harsh to Annie? Well, Annie is the one who's like not doing great things.
I mean,
Jeff was just lawyering her.
I think it's more of the like, nobody talked to her, nobody followed her, talked to her again.
Like, that is pretty harsh. It is harsh. Yeah. It is harsh. That was excessive.
I'm assuming that's what he meant.
Who cares?
It is a little excessive. Hey, it's Matt from Communies writes in and says, English as a second language could have been a great finale to the season, but when you get more episodes, you make more episodes. But Matt says this episode is a 4 out of 5 for me. It solves how to get Chang in future seasons for the show, but season 1 Chang is arguably some of the best Chang. Pierce is sleeping under a book on how to woo in Spanish, which pays off for the people to catch. Oh, that's cute.
Mm-hmm.
I did not catch. I mean, that is attention to detail type stuff that this show is really good at. Yeah, I can't mince words. I will not be as high as a 4 out of 5, but it does. Is this a situation where like they ended up with a lot more episodes than they initially thought? I mean, typically with like network TV, you don't just get a 25 episode season one. I'm sure that they got like a pickup somewhere along the line.
I think they started
with like 13.
Yeah, I think they did. I think that's true. Matt, I'm sure will message me and confirm for me, but I'm almost positive that that is the case.
Yeah. From Eric Divestein, do you think Abed wanted Troy to pursue plumbing even a little bit, or was it 100% committing to Good Will Hunting? Karen, what do you think? Do you think this was just Abed committing to a movie reference?
I kind of think it is.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, I think that's Abed's thing, right? Like, he commits to the bit. Like, that's who Abed is.
Yeah, I mean, well, I mean, as a friend, I don't think I think he would have listened more to Troy, especially given, I did watch the episode where the whole him and his dad thing.
Yes, intro film.
If anything, Abed should be very understanding to Troy what he wants.
Yes.
Right? And so I think it's just definitely more committing to the bit, and that's it.
I think you're right. Mm-hmm. From Riley, last one up, Riley says, it's a very plot-heavy episode of Community, not a character-heavy episode. The overarching plot of season one is fine, but the magic of the show is the characters and the show leaning into that for overall season plots as the show goes on. But here in season one, going back to the overarching Jeff-heavy plot because they went away from it for half the season while doing character stuff, and then there's only two episodes left. It's just not the best. It's not bad. It's just fine. I think ultimately I am on the side that this episode is not bad. It's just fine. But that's going to dock it even a little bit for me, because I feel like at this point, like, we don't got time for just fine. You're in the final stretch of your season. Like, we got to be a little better than just fine right now. Miss Fine. Anyway, that was a nanny reference. Meow Meow Beans. Karen, do you know what we do with the Meow Meow Beans?
So was this the...
We rate the characters on a scale of 0 to 5. We rate all of the series regulars of Community, the study group. So Jeff, Britta, Abed, Troy, Pierce, Shirley, and Annie, plus Chang, because he's a series regular as well. A bagel is a 0. It can go as high as a 5. I didn't really know where to land with this one, Jess, so you know what I did.
Drove me crazy with your double digits.
Well, what I did was I just translated their scores on the Spanish final and applied them.
I was wondering what you were doing.
To Meow Meow Beans. So I just gave them the Meow Meow Bean equivalent of how they tested in the Spanish 102 final. So I gave Chang a bagel because he didn't take the test.
That's why I was so lost. I was like, whoa.
Jeff, I like Chang. I actually, and I think that Chang, like, it would in a normal world, would be like one of the guys I'd rate higher this week because I love the keytar. That's great. But yeah, I have to give him 0 because he didn't take the test.
Okay.
So he gets a bagel. So then Troy, because he got the lowest, is going to get a 3.4. Pierce gets a 3.5. That's a 70. Jeff gets a 4, that's an 80, and so on and so forth for all of their scores. Britta's gonna get a 3.95. She got a 79. So Jeff a 4, Britta a 3.95, Ovid gets 4.25, Troy the 3.4, Pierce 3.5, Shirley gets 4.05, Jess, which I'm sure you feel great about.
Feel wonderful about this.
I'm sure you feel fantastic with that. And Annie, she tests the highest, so she gets my highest score, 4.75 for Annie. So that's how I gave out my meow meows this week. Yeah.
You're a wild man.
But I mean, is that not unfair?
Listen, you are allowed to give out your meow meow.
Because that unfair, I think, is the question I was trying to ask.
However you feel, mm-hmm. you can give out your meow meows.
That's just what I chose to do this week.
Okay.
Was to do it based on... I didn't really feel super strongly about anyone, which is, I think, a mark of a fine episode of the show. I just didn't really feel any real major way towards anyone, so I just gave them what they earned.
That's fine.
On the
Karen, what
on
about
the test.
You? How are you feeling about the meow meows?
Fine. I actually already distributed them pre-pods. I'll just list them out.
Yeah, let's do it.
So I, you know what, in the first few episodes, I did not like Jeff Winger. Did not, but I felt like he was strangely heroic this episode. I don't know. Like, he had you know, he sussed out the Annie and what she had done, and he figured it out. And then he saves Annie at the end, you know, and so I gave Jeff a 5, which is surprising.
Yeah.
I really did not like him the first few episodes. Britta 3, like, she wasn't that visible, and then, like, the joke for Britta was just like, eh. I mean, I know it came from Annie, but, like, the writer's portrayal of her in that episode, not that great. She was just there.
Sure.
Ovid, I gave a 4. I mean, committed to the bit, fine. Troy, 4.5, because I felt like justice for Troy and his character.
Yep.
Pierce, 5, because I liked the physical comedy when he closed the door and stayed behind and then was like, ooh, then jumped, he was, like, floating in the air, liked that. Shirley, 3.0, like, it was okay, fine. She had a joke or two. Annie won.
Yes!
Snitch.
Saw that what coming from a mile away.
Take and this Chang one four. Meow meow bean and get stitches with it, you snitch.
You said Chang wow. 4?
Yeah.
Okay.
Incredible. Amazing. We love this.
To see it.
We do. Do we, Jess?
No.
All of us do?
Not all of us.
I love to see it.
Oh, gosh. So I just felt like very meh on a lot of these characters this episode. I got to be honest. Like, I don't know. I wasn't really feeling a lot of them. So my scores will reflect that. At the low end, I gave Chang a 2. Like, I just don't really find his, like, humor funny a lot of the time. And I apologize for people who love him. I just, like, the funniest thing he had was, like, the safety goggles.
You didn't like him throwing the, yeah, like, hitting the car, the keytar?
No, I didn't really care.
I love the physical comedy.
That's the thing, I'm just
throwing, and the glasses, and just being goofy, and then the, like, playing the keytar.
It's not for me.
I feel like, I feel bad that I can't give him a score this week. I would give him probably, like, I'd give him, like, a 3.5 to a 4 this week, I think.
This is a mess of your own making.
It's totally true, absolutely. I came up with my system this week. I can't violate it. Yeah.
And then a lot of people got 3s from me this week. Jeff got a 3. Ovid and Troy got 3s. And Pierce got a 3. Jeff, like, he's fine this episode. I just feel like this is very regressive for him as a character. Like, it feels like early season 1 again. And it just, like, this is not the Jeff I like. So I gave him a 3. Troy and Ovid just, like, weren't doing it for me this episode. Like, Troy has, like, a funny line. Ovid is, like, typical Ovid, but not in the way that I enjoy. Pierce, again, like, I did like the Buenos Dias and the, like, Tierra del Fuego, I thought was funny. But, like, again, that's why he got, like, 1.5 above average. Britta got a 2.5 from me. I just, like, she's kind of invisible this episode. Like, where is Britta? Like, does she have any funny lines? Not really. Maybe the Avatar line, I guess, if you're going to give her something. I gave Shirley a 3.5. I just love the horoscopes of the devil.
The horoscope line is really funny.
That's what boosted her up for me. And Annie, surprise to a lot of people, I only gave her a 3.5. I didn't give her like a 5 or something wild. I agree. What she did is really mean. It's not nice. It's really rude to a whole group of people, not even just her friends, but the entire class. Like, there's a lot of serious repercussions for what she does. That being said, I love her Disney face and I will not apologize for that. And that's why she got a 3.5 from me.
Wow. Okay. So where's that leaving us with character rankings right now? Chang is still in the back with Pierce.
Yeah.
They're really holding it down. Ovid's still way in the front, right? Like, there's just
there's no hope for anybody else.
We've got one episode left. If Ovid's not great in the finale and Shirley's amazing, like, Shirley could take it.
I guess, but I think, like, it's just so improbable that there'd be an episode in which Ovid gets, like, a bagel or one or something. Like, it's just based on our history here. I just don't think that's likely. But yeah, there's no movement in the leaderboard right now. We got some double digits now in the decimals, but beyond that, nothing has really changed. The main, I guess, contention is between Britta and Annie. Britta's in 5th, Annie's in 6th. They are numbers, math, I can't do, but they're not that far apart. They're like less
but
than
I
point.
Can. Math man.
Yeah, math man. Josh Wiggler screws me up with his double digit.
I'm not math man.
Points.
Whoa. I'm not math man here. That's not me.
So, yes.
Can I ask, so, Jess, what is it exactly about Jeff that you like early season?
No, I don't like him early season.
Oh, you don't.
I felt like he was very regressive in this episode, and that it felt like early season one Jeff to me versus the character growth that we see mid this season and beyond. Because I agree with you, Karen. Oh, okay. I don't think he's very like pretentious and egotistical in the first few episodes. I don't enjoy it.
But I liked him this season mostly because of the situation. Okay. But like, he's not like trying to sleep with Britta. He's not trying to, or desperately like trying to repair the relationship. Like, that's the stuff that I was like, oh, you're just desperate.
Yeah.
You're just whatever. But I felt like, I liked him.
He's fine. On to the Dean's list. I think I tipped my hand earlier. I gave it to the Dean. I love his cricket sounds and his noises of the Serengeti. And I just think he's like silly. I love the scene of him telling the class that that Chang is fired. The Dean is wonderful. He gets my Dean's list point.
Yeah. I ended up giving it to Star Burns, as Jeff would call him. And mm-hmm. so shall I. The Hannah bit is really funny. Hannah. Just like leading the class out on Hannah, Hannah. And it worked. And I definitely love the Dean, but any chance to give it to somebody else, I'll take it if there's like a valid choice just because it's his list.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Karen? Who are you giving your Dean's list point to?
Same as Josh. I didn't know that was Starburns. That's his name?
Yeah.
No, his name is Alex.
His name is Alex.
But
his name is Alex.
Starburn, you know, the Starburns on his
face. Yeah. That's who, that was the best part of that back half of the episode. So I will go with that. Dean's okay for me. It was fine. But yeah, the Hannah.
It was funny.
Just the way, I think it was good. Like that part, that scene was good up to that point, and he just took it to the next level.
Yeah, he elevated
level.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I liked it.
He's a revolutionary, you know, started a revolution.
He did, didn't he? At the end of the day. All right. Episode ratings. I initially had this like right around the area of the pilot. I think I had it at like a 2.5, which is what I gave the pilot. And then I was going to do a 2.4 to like say, like, I think it's really close to the pilot in quality. And I should like mark it in the same way that I did with like Modern Warfare, the 3.9 instead of the 4. Like, that's because of the I think the paintball episode in season 2 is just a lot better for me personally. Episodes, I guess I should say. So I was going to do that sort of same distinction with the pilot. And then, you know, talking through, like, there's just not a lot in this episode that really cracked me up. It just didn't seem particularly funny to me. I'm not going to like think about this one ever again. Mm-hmm. And it's also, it is like tying up some measure of story threads at this point, right? Like, we're signaling a shift for Senior Chang as a character, that now he's going to be part of the crew, at least to some degree. This is like the resolution of the study group's time together in Spanish class. And so, like, this is how we're like resolving kind of major plot points. Is a little troublesome to me in terms of like the show's ability to do that like, maybe it's like, okay, slow down, this isn't when you're going to enjoy the show so much. It's really just like the journey stuff, it's the character stuff, like that's where you'll like it the most. I think this episode just did not really have that, and the fact that it's coming so late into the season with literally just one more episode to go, I think for me, I want to put another stamp down. This is where you get like a hard 2. This is a little bit less than just fine. The episode itself is probably just fine, and that's okay. It's like perfectly average, like enjoyable enough episode of Community. But I don't think that you can afford to be just fine right now when you're resolving storylines that have lasted all season long and you're in your penultimate episode of the season. I think it's not okay to be just fine. So I give it the 2. That's where I've landed.
I give it a 2.4. I feel like it's not as good as the pilot, but it's a little bit better than Spanish 101. So that is kind of where it falls on my metric. It's fine. Like, there are certain jokes I enjoyed. But for the most part, it just feels like very average, like an average episode of television. It doesn't blow me away. It's okay. There are certain things I like and certain things I don't like. And so that's why it's just kind of like, meh, it's a 2.4. It's okay. It's decent.
Yeah. Karen, how would you rate this episode of Community?
2.2.
There
we go.
2.2. I mean, as a someone coming into it and not like mostly forgetting the early episodes I saw, it was actually a good refresher on who everyone is, because all the jokes were basically like, yeah, this is who it is. Like, your name is Britta, and you are and you are very Christian, and you are very like yeah. Those are the kind of jokes mm-hmm. that there were here. Even though the plot, it was like very plot heavy, the character jokes were perfect for someone who like did not know anything about the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually got a lot about who everyone was on a surface level. So that was helpful for me as a beginner community yeah. watcher.
Mm-hmm.
So the 2.2 that's where that came from, instead of giving it just like say a 2.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Gets that little extra bump.
Yeah.
Gets that little extra bump.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
The audience is a little bit higher than us on it at a 2.7, which brings our average to a 2.33. That is going to put it solidly in second to last place. It is only above The Art of Discourse.
I think that's fair. I'm looking at our bottom four. Like, these are the four bottom ranked of the season in our rankings. And I think for me, that feels accurate to my experience.
Yeah, it's interesting that it is the in fourth to last is the pilot, third to last is Spanish 101, which is the second episode. And then we have this episode, the 24th episode, and The Art of Discourse, which is the 22nd. So we're kind of bookending the season's bookend is the bottom four episodes. And interestingly enough, because we did get some submissions with full lists of people's rankings for season one, thank you for the two people that did that. Fantastic. Loved getting that email. We now have we have broken the tie between Modern Warfare and Contemporary American Poultry for the top spot. And currently Modern Warfare sits at the top of our rankings. So that's
totally fair.
Yeah.
Totally fair. I'm not going to fight that. Yeah. I disagree, and I'm not going to fight it.
Yeah. And as a reminder, because next episode is our season one finale, get in your rankings. If you haven't, ratings, I should say, send in your ratings. If you haven't already, community@postshowrecaps.com. If you need to fill in a backlog, you can certainly do that. Would love to see them to round out our ratings here as we end the season.
All right. We've got one more episode in season one to go. Season one finale coming next week. Do you want to tease us for what we're getting into? Who do we have on here, Jess?
Yes. So season one, episode 25, Pascal's Triangle Revisited. Super exciting guest. Someone who... you may have heard recently, very recently, on Post Show Recaps, Sasha Joseph is going
yes.
to be joining us. I'm so excited. I love Sasha.
Yes.
She's amazing.
I was just listening to the Never Have I Ever podcast that she and Chappelle
it's
did.
It's so good.
It's really, really, really fun. I'd only seen, I think, the first episode of Never Have I Ever.
You should watch it.
And it was a while ago, and I really enjoyed it. And we just, like, for whatever reason, like, with so much TV, like, we just yeah. didn't keep going with it. But it was not the fault of the shows. It was just, like, so much stuff, too much content. And I'd forgotten that John McEnroe was the narrator. So yeah, I gotta go back. I think Chappelle and Sasha did such a good job on that. I'm so thrilled to have Sasha on here. I think that's gonna be really, really, really fun for the finale next week. That's great. Super
yeah,
cool.
Go listen to that podcast. I listened to it today. I binged seasons 1 and 2 in like 48 hours. It's such a good show. And they did a really, really, really great job covering that that show. So go check out that podcast as well.
Okay. Karen, what's going on? Give us the plugs. What you doing? Where can people find you on yon internets?
So you can find me on Twitter at Careplane, KareePlane, plane. And I mean, that's really where you can find most of my stuff. And I just really enjoyed being here. Hope to do more podcasts of in the future on Wombat Water or wherever people want me.
Do you have ideas yet for what's coming soon on Wombat Water? Is there any chance yeah. at Pizza Part 2?
If people want Pizza Part 2, we could definitely do Pizza Part 2.
I'm people. Hi.
Your people. Hi. Would love to do Pizza Part 2. And I'm hoping to do Coconut Water.
A coconut water ranking.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Huh. Interesting.
Need more gargle singing
yeah.
in my life. So.
That was very fun, I have to admit. Those are some of the funnest. Like the seltzer water one was really good. All the different water variations.
What's the number one coconut water?
Well, that's why we need a podcast. Don't know yet.
I don't know that I've ever had coconut water.
Ever?
And I really want to see Jess chug more water.
No. So. I'm the champion chugger.
Yeah, she hasn't lost a single water chug round.
Vita Coco. Vita Coco.
Vita Coco's good.
Vita Coco.
Yeah.
We got some Vita Coco in the fridge right now. Let me tell you this about Vita Coco. It's that Vita Coco has been in the fridge.
It's been in the fridge.
Oh, no.
I mean, if we're going to do a chugging contest, I hope we don't do the ones with, like, pieces of coconut, because I just, I prefer just to be alive.
Yeah.
That sounds disgusting. That sounds like orange juice with pulp, which I am strongly against.
I kind of like the coconut, but I just don't feel like it's safe.
I just don't want chunks of things in my beverages.
That's fine. But you don't like bubble tea?
I've had it once.
Good.
I've had the like strawberry one at Dunkin'.
What? Oh,
sorry. A strawberry bubble tea at Dunkin'?
That's really not.
That's going to be bottom ranked.
My husband was so kind and he went out.
We're dragging Will into this.
And it was very kind of him. He's like, oh, I want to go get that. Do you want to try it? And I was like, sure. It was fine. I would drink it again.
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't tried the actual like boba situation. I'm not a tea drinker, so I don't know if I'd like it.
You're like Ted Lasso in this way.
Yeah,
Ted Lasso also doesn't like tea. You don't like you're out on pulp, Jess, generally?
I don't like pulp.
Karen, how do you feel about pulp?
In a fresh squeezed orange juice, it's good. In like a Tropicana, that's not good. That's my take.
We got a pulpy orange juice when I was a kid, and I didn't know what I was about to drink, and I drank it, and I had such a foul reaction. I was like, why are
you like, this is throw up?
I was like, why are there feathers in my drink, is what I remember saying. I used to think they were feathers.
Because it's disgusting. Like, yeah. I just don't want chunks in my beverages. Like, the bubble thingies were good. Like, you should try the strawberry ones. They were actually really good. Like, I don't know. It's like
Was it the popping one, or was it the chewing one?
Oh, I didn't know there was a difference. I don't know.
Yeah, there's the ones that are like popping boba that like have juice inside.
Oh, yes.
And you just pop them with
those
your tongue.
Those are the ones.
Yeah, that's okay. So that you have the popping boba. The bubble tea has like tapioca pearls, which is like, it's almost like having gummies in your drink.
I don't know, I like that. Does it taste like tapioca pudding? Because I don't like that.
No.
Okay.
It tastes like tapioca pudding. I will give you my order, and maybe one day you can try it.
Yes, I will make
an
effort.
Not all of them taste like tea. Some of them are like juice.
I will try it. I will just make sure Will's with me so he can drink it if I don't like it.
If you're enjoying this segment, folks, check out wombatwater.com.
Long story long.
Yeah. No, I love it.
I didn't mean for my plug to go that
No,
far.
Are you kidding me? That's exactly where it's supposed to go.
Yeah,
that's exactly where it's supposed to go. And let me just again reiterate, I was a guest on Wombat Water for the pizza episode. Just saying, pizza part two.
It was great.
The way you made that podcast turn into like a whole fight with Melody about alliances and
Garlic Knot Alliance.
I'm ready.
That was, if you want to hear some, you know, if you want drama in your life,
this is why I don't
check out.
This is why I don't do reality TV anymore, because something nasty comes out for me and it's not the pulp and an orange juice. Something darker, something more sinister.
And Jess was a very good
I couldn't
good
look at myself in the mirror anymore after I did that one. I was like, oh, God, I'll do anything to win.
And I discovered a love for pineapple on pizza. Like,
it's a great episode of a podcast you should listen to. Check it out. Jess, what kind of shit have the 90s taught you recently?
Oh, so much. So much. We just covered one of the many Corey and Topanga breakups that'll be coming out on Thursday. Very dramatic. They even had like the most ridiculous montage of like sad music playing over clips of them. It was ridiculous. Really crazy episode of Dawson's Creek coming up. Big, huge moment from season two. Check that out. And then,
are you guys doing a segment on Dr. Death, the Pacey show?
No, I did watch a few episodes. I haven't continued it yet. Will and I watched a little bit of it. Like, it's It's interesting. It's kind of like, I don't know. I don't know if I like it. It's kind of really like sad to watch because so mm-hmm. many people just got like taken advantage of. So you kind of have to be like in the right mindset, I think, to watch it. But it's decent if people want to watch it on Peacock, I think is where it is.
Yeah.
And then coming up, we have our last bonus podcast in July. We have, if we're talking Tom Hanks, and Meg Ryan, we can only have one person on to do that, and that is the famous MJC. Michael J. Clarke is coming on to talk Sleepless in Seattle.
Yes.
I've never seen it. Hopefully I like it more than You've Got Mail, because that movie sucked. So we'll see.
I haven't seen Sleepless in Seattle in so long.
I've never seen it. I've heard good things. I hope I love Tom Hanks in it, because I keep watching movies where he's awful, and it makes me very sad.
Tom Hanks. Well, that's super cool. We love that. Jess, you're going to be talking about other movies here pretty soon. The one we're prepared to announce, at least, is Post Show Recaps Watches is coming up in the Post Show Recaps Patron Discord. We're recording that at 9 p.m. Eastern on July 28th. So you only were there if you listened to this. And so you're already a patron of Post Show Recaps. These are the things you miss if you're not a patron of Post Show Recaps. We're talking about Batman Forever. Yumi and Ariel, we're getting together. We're talking about Batman Forever with the patrons of Post Show Recaps.
Forever. Are you sure I wrote the wrong movie down?
Forever. Yeah. in Math Man
Good
Forever.
Get that vowel right. Not yeah. Meh. Man.
In Math Man Forever, Math Man, the camera just stays on Math Man the entire time as he recites every number in pi. And the movie never
3.14159.
Yeah, it just keeps going. He keeps going, and it's Math Man Forever. It's literally, it just doesn't stop. So check that out. That'll be in the Patreon feed once it's done. And then we've got some announcements about Post Show Recaps Theater that may be relevant to people who enjoy hearing from Jess Sterling on podcasts.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
So really fun stuff coming up. Check out everything else we got going on in the Post Show Recap. So many podcasts down the hatch. Hang in there. All the ones that you love to listen to, they're still out there. They're still happening. We're just having the best time. You can follow me on social medias at Round Howard. You can also follow at Post Show Recaps, not just on Twitter anymore, but also on Instagram at Post Show Recaps. They're hanging out on the Insta, Jess.
Yay! Very exciting.
Go smash that follow button, right? That's what we say. Smash that follow. Yes. Be like Karen and smash that follow button on at Post Show Recaps. We'll be back next week talking about the season one finale of Community. This is the point where we say, Corey B, take us away.
This is a show about a team that started to grow a community. Wiggler and Jess, here till it ends. Meet up to Pastor Fail Green Hill with all of our friends. The brightest timeline's here to shine the way. Community building is here.